And we're on. Welcome to Watch for Jesus program this evening. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this program today, tonight, brought to you by Revelation Radio Network. And you all are welcome. Tonight, I'm going to talk about aliens in the Bible. And aliens are in the Bible, but they're not aliens from outer space. These are the real McCoy of fallen angels, not aliens. Why I don't want to talk about that again? Because they're coming as a false prophet. And the human side of it will be the Antichrist. That's pretty significant. And an entire world will be fooled into thinking they're aliens. Everybody from Billy Graham to the Pope at the highest level will try to fool the whole world into thinking that these are fallen, that these are aliens from another planet. Doesn't that sound crazy? But this is what's going to happen. How many people don't, you know, the number of people that realize this is going to happen is so small. So small. And it just... A lot of things are going to happen. A lot of things are going to be going on in people's lives. You know, supernatural attacks are going to start occurring. Against families, against work, your church, job. Supernatural. Until it breaks and you have this fake World War III coming. All this is connected. So when you read about Obama over here and the Vatican and the World War III and things going on with ISIS and all that, family, this is part of it. This is to get your attention to a fake, fraudulent World War III, but a war nonetheless that they're going to construct. And then at the time everybody gets all in a frenzy, there's going to be disclosure. And the aliens are going to appear. How far will they let it go? How far will they push this to where people of the world will be ready to accept aliens out there that doesn't exist? Right now, people say, well, Americans wouldn't believe that. Really, they wouldn't, huh? Well, going back to Orson Welles and his broadcast, they sure did accept it. Back in 1938, they've had a lot of brainwashing to go through since then. And that's what that was all about, 1938, October 31st. That's what that was all about, to get you prepared, get Edward Bernays and all the others to formulate their plans. It goes back to, actually, 1917. John Dewey. I think I have enough people here tonight that you've heard me recite the quotes and about John Dewey. The best way to bring people together, pretty much, or the world together, would be an outside threat from beyond. And people would come together because they got a threat to the world. As long as we're fighting each other, we'll fight each other. If there's a threat to the world, y'all come together. Just kind of how it works. Let me dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to talk about this tonight, and y'all be prepared. That's going to listen. That's already here already. You'll be prepared. When it happens, you'll say, oh, I know what that is. That's fallen angels. Then those that's not going to think you're crazy because they won't believe that fallen angels are not aliens. They say, oh, no, they're not fallen angels. They're aliens. Then what's going to happen is the Book of Enoch will take priority over virtually any Bible. Even the King James, it will override, and many Christians will fall away and head toward the Book of Enoch, because that's what these pseudo-Christians, I call them, are promoting. Oh, we love the Bible, we love God and all this. And they say, well, Book of Enoch's got good information too. But they forget to tell you that the Book of Enoch was written in the first century. That's, you know, and Enoch was taken at 365 years old, about three generations before the flood. That was only four or five thousand years ago. A little bit before the first century, say the least. They forget to tell you that. So the Book of Enoch could not be written by Enoch. And the Book of Enoch was not passed on to Noah to wrap it up and freeze-dried something or another, and then carry it through the flood and make sure everybody got a copy thousands of years later. It sounds ridiculous, but that's what would have had to happen. Someone had to take control of the Book of Enoch. But there's nothing about the Book of Enoch even in the Bible. The prophecy of Enoch is there. Prophecies were carried down by word of mouth. Book of Enoch in its full entirety was written in the first century. It wasn't by Enoch. It's a testimony of the fallen angels. They throw a little flavor of God in there, a certain extent, to pull you in. But it's a Gnostic book like all the rest except for the King James. King James is exactly the true word of God. That's why you get the title of King James Onlyist. You ever notice that? What they fear the most, they ostracize. It gives themselves away. But they're good at it because they're trained. Let's dedicate the broadcast and let's talk about aliens in the Bible. I'm going to give you some detail tonight that hopefully I haven't given to you before. But this is the falling away. Right now, people are watching TV. They're getting ready for work tomorrow. And at no time do they even really pay mind to this. Christians, you got Sid Roth and you got other theologians and so forth that are not putting two and two together. And unfortunately, the others are putting together and lying to people. I mean, massive lies are going down now. Massive. Lord, we thank you tonight. We're able to come together in this broadcast with this network. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have that we can broadcast. And Father, at least get out to those to listen. And Lord, we pray that, Father, you'll bless it. That, Father, you'll find ways to get it put out in other places. Father, most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that, Lord, that we know the time is coming is going to be hard. Father, we know we trust in Jesus. And, Lord, we know the Holy Spirit to rise in our heart, Lord, to guide us in the right path, convict us when we fall away, and lead us in the direct path that, Father, we can fulfill the divine appointments you give us. Give us the words to speak, opportunities, and the courage to carry through. Father, we know it's time to come, that, Father, you'll take us, and, Lord, to give us the courage to face that day, if that day ever comes. Lord, we pray for our family members to bring them together for Christ. Father, we pray for families that, Father, that have their children that's going in different directions. That through the sanctification of the parents or the other siblings or friends, that, Father, those lost children can be touched and bring them back home. Father, protect them from the drugs that are being distributed out there. Lord, we know that the attacks of us trying to do the right thing, Father, will come from family members, will come from work, will come from outside to inside. Father, we call upon you to reverse it, that any influence that comes in or goes back, Lord, that people can be converted and hear the name of God, name of Jesus. We pray, Father, that you'll guide us tonight. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, convict us when we fall, and lift us when we need it, Father. We thank you for your confirmation of knowledge we pass on, and Lord, to bring us back together, Father, we can share that knowledge with each other. Father, we pray for opportunities to increase our exposure and increase our knowledge and opportunities we can have to spread the gospel. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The big thing going now is something they have to do. They have to discredit the King James Bible. They're not worried about the NIV Bible. It's satanic anyway. Any Bible that don't follow the true word of God, that doesn't have all the scriptures in it, that in fact has been corrupted by Westcott and Hort, two Freemasons, speaks for itself. This is not an opinion. It's a fact. And I think part of it is a curse. I think some of it is a spell of people that really kind of hope that the King James Bible isn't correct. It's Christians that really hope it's not correct, that are pulled in by a spell of those that profess to be Christian, say all the right words, know how to cast that spell on other Christians that are not covered by the blood of Jesus. And I just got into a... actually, I almost lost my temper, but I mean, it's really frustrating. I mean, even on the internet, it's just really, really frustrating when those people come after you and tell other people about the King James Bible. Well, I like it, but really, I found that the New King James Bible is just as good, or the NASB is just as good. And these guys are NJ, King James only. You can't trust them. You see, and people believe it. Even if you give them information, give them knowledge, give them history, they're taken in by the false Christians. They have to discredit the King James Bible, because the King James Bible brings them to task. So the first thing you got to do is cause King James to become a homosexual. Then you got to say, well, I like the King James Bible. It's one of the better ones. I enjoy reading it. You see. And it's my favorite one. But I also like reading, they always got that zinger out there coming. But you really got to read the original Greek. Who does? 7 to 9 billion people? You put it together. Wait a minute. You mean 7 billion people have to learn how to speak Greek? And then you got to learn Greek so good that you can read the Greek. Aren't people thinking? You don't think that international language, which is only one in the world, is English, is international? And the Greek, I-E-S-U-S, the I turns to J because it's English, it's a J. Well, they're trying to get people to say Yeshua across the board. Well, across the world. Yeshua. You should say his original name, etc. Well, if you're reading 100% Hebrew and you can speak Hebrew, you probably have it, Yeshua. But the Jews lost the tasking of bringing the Holy Word to mankind when they rebelled and were scattered. So he said, okay, God put it on ice, we'll say right now. And then when it was time, when man was ready to accept it, that would be after the Dark Ages, finally, after the Vatican stopped murdering. Remember, Vatican murdered millions upon millions of people. To stop the spread of the Word of God. Now, I got an article here. I'm just going to give the title. And the title, man, speaks for itself. The facts remain. The Vatican murdered 50 to 68 million people. That's just in partial the Inquisition. That's not counting the wars they started on purpose. That's not counting the number of civilians murdered in every single war. The Inquisition by itself is 50 to 68 million. Just Inquisition. Tortured. In 1 week, 70,000 to 100,000 people were murdered in 1 7-day period. And St. Bartholomew Massacre, and they did the bead thing with Mary, whatever, to celebrate the victory of a massacre as a victory. One concentration camp ran by the Ustasha, Roman Catholic, murdered 827,000 people in a 3-year period. Our Civil War was started by the Jesuits, as confirmed by Lincoln. Okay. I'm not even scratching the surface. Now, Pope Francis, who's a Jesuit, he is a bona fide Jesuit, like F. Fidel Castro, 7-year Jesuit, like Billy Graham is a Jesuit, all these Jesuits, Knights of Malta. Pope Francis is a Jesuit. Ratzinger, whatever, was a brown shirt Nazi. Roman Catholics, for goodness sakes alive, wake up. Pope Francis says, I quote, "You can't use religion to justify violence." That's what it says. That's what he said. You can't use religion to justify violence. That just makes me stare at the ground and just blink like, what? And then you go back over the history of the billions of people that's been murdered since 325 A.D. See, nothing really stopped. That's what Constantine came in for. It was 325 A.D., people in the stands of the gladiators killing Christians and lions chowing down, right? On Christians, Jews, whoever believed in Jesus, believed in God. Before 325 A.D., it still continued for quite some time after, even Constantine. But the problem was, people in the stands were converting. Uh-oh, can't have this. So let's just bring them in. Let's create a religion. They did. It's called Christianity. That's where Christianity came from. Jesus is not about Christianity or any religion. He's about redemption, salvation, and faith in him, not a religion. And he has to give us instruction, right? He gave us the Word of God, what we're supposed to do. And that's only the King James Bible. It just is the only one with history confirming it. It's confirmed. You know, it's amazing. So you can't justify violence by using religion to justify violence, when they're the biggest purveyors of violence in the history of mankind. It's not funny, but it almost is in a way. It's so amazing. Now you've got the New Age movement coming in. The New Age movement on its way. And the New Age movement is a re-spiritualized version of religion. The new religion is coming. People don't, the Catholics don't have any idea what's getting ready to come down on them. They have no idea. A re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church. I'm going to talk about that this week. Where the Catholic Church is going to be re-spiritualized. And what does that mean? It means it's going to be turned into the New Age movement. What's going to do that? The falling away. What's going to cause the falling away? The advent of aliens coming on the scene. We are your creators. The Bible's been misused, misinterpreted. And lukewarm Christians are going to be seeing them in holograms, manifestations. It's going to happen. Strontium barium niobate, it's a chemical that you would find in the old TV tubes back in the day. Barium oxide, barium strontium barium niobate. is required in the TV tubes to produce the image. With some modifications and so forth, blow it up times 1,000, about 1,000,000. And you've got chemtrails with strontium barium niobate being distributed in the atmosphere. You add to it satellite technology, and you get yourself holograms. 3D holograms, by the way. And that's an Army project, by the way. Add to it the ELF towers with voice-to-skull technology being distributed in a worldwide cloud of worldwide voice-to-skull. Is to where the aliens will talk in the simulated telepathy. Family, this is old technology. Old technology. It's being practiced, used, manipulated to make sure it works properly. All sorts of places. In the world. The fallen angels themselves will produce supernatural occurrences that mankind is not ready for. But they got to discredit the King James Bible. That's their number one attack. And the battle I had going on tonight, earlier, was they're talking about, and they specifically, as usual, went right after me, which I expect anyway. We're called a King James Onlyists, King James Onlyism. And they say, well, now, if you want to learn something, it says King James in letters of homoerotic desire by King James. And letters of his homoerotic desires by author David M. Bergeron, B-E-R-G-E-R-O-N. quotes from actual letters of King James and three of his favorites, in quotation marks, what he called lovers. Okay. His lovers, they name them here and show the homosexual relationship between the king and the three lovers. Okay. So I went after this, what's his name? This guy here, David M. Bergeron. I said, all right, I go for it. Let's see what we got here. And so I went after him. And sure enough, he's a professor at Kansas State University. Kansas University, KU. Yeah. And he's a big shot professor there in that Kansas State University. Professor. Well, here's my answer for that. And of course, before I go to bed tonight, before I close down everything, which is late, usually, I'm certainly going to answer these folks. Now, some of them will understand; others, their minds are gone. It ain't going to happen. Oh, but it's very simple, actually. Some people pick up on it and others won't. And it sort of goes a little something like this. About a professor at Kansas University. Or actually, it doesn't have to be just Kansas University. It can be any university. Don't matter. Any university will do if they're a professor at one of these universities. And notice they're always professors that's got these authors. And so my answer to them would be just this. Several. Education. Charles Francis Potter, 1930. Education is a powerful ally of humanism. And every public school is a school of humanism. And then as 1930 and 1980s, Herbert London, educator at New York University and humanist, of course, the strides made by Marxism at American universities in the last two decades are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by Marxist socialism preachment, and almost every faculty counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar. And 1989, Georgia Ann Geyer says the percentage of Marxist faculty numbers can range from an estimated 90% in some Midwestern universities. And at the same time, Roger Kimball said, with a few notable exceptions, our most prestigious liberal arts colleges and universities have installed the entire radical menu and be Marxist and humanist at the center of humanities curriculum at both undergraduate and graduate levels. So the colleges and universities are producing teachers and professors who've been taught to discredit religion, disdain public enterprise, and to show contempt for parents who don't want to surrender the role of educating their children to them. You see. So that renders null and void anything coming from this professor in Kansas University. I mean, really. So they got to discredit the King James Bible. If it was any other way, and I've done my research, and I'm sure you all have done too, but any other way to find another Bible that equaled it, that's what I would say. I wouldn't just say, well, I promote only King James only because I make money 10% when he buys, you know. No, I don't have a preference. I mean, it's a matter of what's reality. NIV Bible, this guy's promoting. Well, I said, okay, fine. And in the meantime, here's 17 verses. I can give you about 200 more that I would like you to try to find in the NIV Bible that you'll find the King James. Just go ahead and find these verses. Because you won't. They're not there. They're removed and not even renumbered. They just plucked them right out. And yet people don't make a big deal out of it. You see. And it goes for the rest of them too. Every one of them. Every one. The NASB, New King James Bible. And actually, to make it easier, you can find out that Westcott and Hort, two Freemasons, are responsible for the versions after 1900. They corrupted on purpose. Every one of them. All of them. There is no exception whatsoever. Everything they did, 1870s, 1890s, led to the corruption of all of the Bibles after the year 1900. That would be every modern Bible. Understand this. And then all those before were from the Douay Rheims and the Latin Vulgate Gate. Oh, I'm sorry. The Latin Vulgate. Oh, that slipped. And so you can trace it right down to the page in the book, right to Origen, a Greek philosopher in Alexandria, Egypt, in about the 3rd century. It's all right there. The history is documented. They're counting on you not doing the research. Anyway, I want you all to know that. Tonight, aliens in the Bible, they're coming, but they're not aliens. The alien visitors are left out of most of the modern prophecy books. And this notion that there is existing life on other planets will confront many fundamental beliefs. And in the event that the existence of alien life becomes a fact from the world's point of view, questions will arise to the origin of life. It'll pop up. And the way they've carried this on, judging from modern sociological perspectives, Orthodox Christianity will suffer a tremendous problem, to say the very least. And you will find your island to become very, very small when it happens. And your fellow Christians will get real mad at you, and they'll definitely be mad at the preacher for lying to them or being mistaken, and they'll follow Christianity. They'll follow the alien lie because they will see the UFOs. They'll see the aliens. But they've got to have a certain crisis. Now, would they believe it right now? I doubt it. They'd be a mixed bag. So they've got to create a massive world crisis, a major threat against mankind, for it to be accepted. It's got to be dramatic. It's called the dialectic. They've got to have a major crisis first. Now, what it looks like they're trying to produce is a World War III. It'll be a... Now, they may take out a city. I don't know. I don't know how far they'll go. And they're making the Arabs look like the bad guys, and the Jews is the good guys, and we're the bad guys too, and everybody's just a bad guy, good guy scenario. And they're really trying to convolute the, as I've been talking about, the seals, the trumpets, that were already, they got to get rid of that first. You see, the K Calvinists and preterists and all these going to have to say, well, the tribulations are already done. No more tribulations. We're in the sixth trumpet already, really. I've had people even ask. I mean, if you've got to ask on the internet and YouTube and my Facebook, are we in the sixth trumpet yet? It's like, well, somebody let me know when we're in the sixth trumpet and where there's disaster, death, and destruction. Can somebody let me know that? Are we, John? Are we? Ask your preacher. Oh, okay. I'll ask him next Sunday. I call him up. Maybe go Wednesday night. We'll ask him, preacher, are we in the sixth trumpet yet? It's like, Mom, are we in the bathroom? Can we stop now? You know, no problem. Family, do you think that God does judgments like that? That's going to be localized? You just pick a continent and say, well, I just open the seals on this one continent. It depends on mankind's TVs and computers to announce to the rest of the world, oh, by the way, we're in the fifth seal, fifth trumpet, or whatever. I just don't think God does it like that. I think he means it'd be worldwide. When the seal opens, it'd be worldwide prosperity. To lull people into false sense of security like they did in 1921 before they slam dunk, to lull you into a false sense of security. So first they create a crisis. Here comes security from their own solved solution, and they control it the whole time. It's how they do things. So right now, England's just going around like England does, America too. You read about the unfortunate people. Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible. Oh, yeah. Until it happens to you. So right now, they got to put a crisis. It works like this, sort of. I won't make this long. I'll make it short. We got time. Now, before I was going to Saudi Arabia in 1996, it was September. I was going to go... Actually, it was 1995. So September 95, and I was going to Saudi Arabia February 96. So September 95, I was sitting in an Italian restaurant in Arlington, Virginia. And I was by myself, and it's a small little restaurant, family-type thing going on. Not a big restaurant, a little one. Italiano, Arlington. And I'm sitting in the middle of the seats around me. I'm in the middle, sort of. And I'm just blasé, and I saw these two men come in. People, everybody's normal, until these two men come in. And I noticed that people starting to react and put their hands over their mouth, and some women started crying or something. I'm like, huh? What's going on? And I saw a gun. I said, oh, all right. This is going to get interesting here. And people started getting down on the floor. And I'm thinking, all right. Well, now, this is not going to look good. And so what was happening was, and I didn't know anybody in there whatsoever. I don't think I've ever been to that restaurant before. And everybody's getting down on the floor. And I said, oh. So I got all kinds of things going through my mind, you know. So you got one guy at the register. I can't tell you the words he said to the guy behind the register. You better give him money or, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then the other guy is making people lie down. And I'm thinking what I'm going to do or anything or nothing or whatever. And, actually what happened was one of the waiters ran outside real fast and it panicked the two guys with the guns and they took off. They didn't really get to rob anything because they figured the police would be coming. It was, and actually it did. The police come very quickly. Okay, here's my point. After that little episode and drama and whatever, everybody got back in their seats, and the police showed up, and there was a little bit of drama taking statements from everybody. So thought, it's been interesting to watch the human interaction after the drama. So I started watching, and here's what I found out, and this is what has to do with this thing tonight about what am I talking about, the about alien contact. I know you're thinking, how in the world is that going to... Well, what happened was, everybody in this restaurant were all buddy-buddy. I mean, I had a couple that says, you want to come over here and sit with us? I said, no, thank you, but no. Oh, okay. You know, they're taking statements down and all this sort of thing going on. And everybody's talking that didn't know each other before. And I got, you know, people like, you should sit there by yourself. You want to come over and sit with us? I said, no, I don't. I just want to finish my dinner now and all this is over with. Oh, okay. All right. You know. And I'm watching all these people, man. And everybody's all writing their stories down. And I had one couple reach over behind another and say, what was that? What kind of gun was that? Oh, that was, I think it was a 22. So the police had to separate them so they get accurate, you know, eyewitness testimony. Witnesses are talking to each other and buddy-buddy, and I'm surprised they all didn't start kissing, making up, and hugging each other or some crap out of garbage. I don't know. Anyway, so everybody's all friendly now. Everybody knows each other. Why is that? Because they had a crisis situation that brought them all together. It was a common crisis, a common threat, and everybody's all buddy-buddy. I'm surprised they exchanged letters and phone numbers, and let's all get together or something and have a reunion. I don't know, whatever. All right, so there's other things. I mean, it happened, but it's just some of the observations of people. So now you'll see when John Dewey, a humanist, father of American education, he was, and Horace Mann, too, by the way, both humanists. And I'm going to explain humanism tomorrow on my broadcast, what really humanism, because it's going to run the New World Order. But nevertheless, John Dewey, guess what? Professor, yeah, professor, man, they profess baloney. Professor of philosophy, that's a double whammy right there. Professor, yuck, and philosophy, baloney, yuck, all right? In Columbia University. Oh, strike three, you're out. Because Columbia is a Council of Foreign Relations acting member of Illuminati, Columbia University. Slam dunk for the longest time. So professor, strike one. Philosophy, strike two. Columbia University, you're out. Okay, but that's John Dewey. All right. He was the next speaker of a particular conference in New York, under the Imperial Japanese Mission in 1917, and a record of the reception throughout the United States of the special mission headed for by Viscount Ishii of New York. He said, and I quote, relative to my little story I just gave you, you'll see the connection here in a second. Someone remarked that the best way to unite all the nations on this globe would be an attack from some other planet. In the face of such an alien enemy, people would respond with a sense of their unity of interest and purpose. You see, and that's exactly what happened in that restaurant on a small scale. That will happen on a major scale when they have a crisis generated, false flag of some sort, followed by the alien to chase out the Illuminati and the reptilian who knows what, and we'll all be all thankful to these aliens. Wow, they're real. Yeah. Oh, the Bible. Oh. Major confusion will take place. It's called in the Bible the falling away. And the one named Sananda Emmanuel will come, who is the embodiment of who you think is Jesus Christ. But he's not the real Jesus Christ. The one we've been seeing all our lives in portraits, movies, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, brown-haired, whatever. Jesus is not Jesus Christ of Nazareth, family. He's a fallen angel named Sanad Emmanuel. All this time, it's not the same one. The Jesus that we should know, the Jesus we know from the Bible, he's going to look like his Arab. Because that's kind of where he was born. Middle East, you know. But the one they're going to carry is the Ashkenazi, Khazar, white boy type, blonde hair, blue eyed, that matches the Israel today, which is not the real Jews. You ever heard of the synagogue of Satan? Well, that's who's in Jerusalem today. Netanyahu and the rest of them. Freemasons. Worldwide. Everybody thinks they're Jews or something. The real Jews know who they are, and they don't go around bragging about it until the time comes. So, the facade they're going to use is a crisis, threat to mankind. Up pops the white hats and the good aliens, Pleiadians, or whatever they're going to call themselves. And we've been set up all along, since 1897, when H.G. Wells wrote a novel called War of the Worlds novel. That was the first effort of predictive programming in 1897. And I recently saw a silent film, one of the first ones that showed a launch of a bullet-like container to the moon and a big gun, and professors and scientists were aboard it, and they landed on the moon, and it's silent films. Man, they've been doing it ever since. Rocket Man, you know, Superman, 1938, comic books by a Freemason. Superman, Rosicrucian, 322, Genesis 3, verse 22, man to become godlike as Superman. The S in the pentagram he's got on his chest, the S is DNA. Mixed DNA is what that means. It's the serpent. Rosicrucian is the Superman concept. I mean, it's not 1938. It's thousands of years old. We've been set up all along. All through. Remember the 50-foot man, Yul Brynner? Some of y'all may not remember, 1950s. Getting you ready for Nephilim. They put everything that they want you to know in the movies, TV, radio, novels, but you don't know it. Because it's associated with fiction. Star Trek, the Q, all these things. You're being trained and not even knowing it. And a test case to find out how far along mankind was in believing this was, as I said before, was in 1937, was a test case. And everybody thought that the War of the Worlds broadcast. Well, so in other words, well, actually, 1917, John Dewey was in the planning process. Edward Bernays, all these guys are connected to it. And then to test it out in 1937, and it was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, of course, the War of the Worlds broadcast was funded through Princeton University as a psychological warfare experiment. And I'd say it was a pretty successful. You know, Bill Cooper talks about this also. And about John Dewey. As a matter of fact, Reagan and his administration five times uses the same quote that I gave you on John Dewey in his speeches. Once to the to the United Nations. He brings it up. Ronald Reagan did. He knew exactly what he was doing. He made it seem like it was just kind of a political statement, chuckled about it, but they knew Star Wars is what it's all about. He is preparing for that disclosure the whole time. Setting people up for the UFO disclosure. And Star Wars. See, they figure they're going to take on God by manipulating the weather, meteorites, and so forth. And alchemy. Can you imagine? And so, for example, just take one. Here we go. Just for your knowledge. I got a slow computer here today. Hold on a second. And he did this five times in his administration. He talked about this. Five different speeches.
Perhaps we need some outside universal threat. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us? What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war and the threat?
And more secure for you and your children. I couldn't help at one point in my discussions privately with General Secretary Gorbachev, when you stop to think that we're all God's children, wherever we may live in the world, I couldn't help but say to him, just think how easy his task and mine might be in these meetings that we held if suddenly there was a threat to this world from some other species, from another planet, outside in the universe. We'd forget all the little local differences that we have between our countries, and we would find out once and for all that we really are all human beings here on this earth together.
So you see, he just kind of poo-poos it, you know, a little bit. Make it look like it's a political speech, but in reality, it's the other way around. It's called predictive programming. That's what he did. The Star Wars were all a part of this. The Radio Project in 1937 was a social research project. It was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, and it was to look into the effects of mass media on society. So in 1937, the Rockefeller Foundation started funding the research to find the effects of new forms of mass media on society, especially the radio. Oh. That brings to mind. So, several universities joined up and a headquarters was formed at the School of Public and International Affairs at Princeton University. And the following people were involved. And I'll read the names off to you. Paul Lazard Field, director. Theodore Adorno. Hadley Cantrell of Princeton University Department of Psychology. Gordon Allport, who was another of Lazard Field's assistant. And he went on to be the Tavistock Institute's leading representative in the United States. Frank Stanton, researcher from CBS, helped the project, went on to become president of CBS. We're all involved in this facade and this plan, you see. They planned on using radio to brainwash the masses at that period of time and find out how good it was to brainwash people. So first he had to get that going before he did anything else. And to make sure that worked, to spread the word of these lies and these setups. One of the project's first studies were soap operas, known as radio dramas at the time. They knew that the wife would sit home in the 40s and 50s. She would be home and take care of the house and the children and all that while the husband worked. And this is how typical family worked. So let's get the wife at the home. So that's where they come up with soap operas, for manipulating of the mind. So the Radio Project also researched the 1938 Halloween broadcast of the War of the Worlds. And they found that an estimated 6 million people who heard the broadcast, 25% thought it was real. Most of the people who panicked did not think it was an invasion from Mars, but it was occurring, but rather an invasion by the Germans. It was later determined that because the radio broadcasts from Munich crisis earlier in the year, the masses were prone to this because of that part of it. They connected it on it. And they used this for that purpose, because it panicked the nation when the thing finally happened. As based on Princeton-based Institute for Social Research, known as the Frankfurt School. And the Frankfurt School had transplanted itself from Germany, where it was founded in 1922 by a group of Bolsheviks, and the Bolsheviks were funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. He had George Lukacs. He visited, wished to understand why the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia had failed, and that in attempts to spread to the West, it didn't conclude. So he concluded the problem laid into a particular Western belief of the sacredness of the individual soul, and that any political movement capable of bringing Bolshevism to the West would have to be demonic, capable of filling the entire soul, unleashing the diabolical forces that lurked in all violence. Well, they were getting down to it. And they figured that such a revolution of this magnitude could only succeed, according to Lukacs, L-U-K-A-C-S, that when the individual believes that his actions are determined not by personal destiny, but by the destiny of the community, communitarianism. You see, mass media was the obvious recourse. Television was not invented yet. Radio was the weapon of choice. So the Frankfurt School started the radio research project in 1937. Funding from Rockefellers. To test that the hypotheses that radio could be used to atomize and manipulate the thinking of the population. And so the ideologue was that Theodore Adorno had observed that people would listen anatomically and disassociate what they hear. They're not childlike, but they are childish. Their primitive attitude, their primitive being prone to primitivism, was not of the undeveloped, but that of the forcibly retarded. Among the findings of the radio project were the following. Was that people tend to become addicted to the radio based on what happens next type of format. You remember in the 40s and 50s, in the 50s, 60s, 40s and 50s, they'd show you the segments of Rocket Man. They'd lead you up to about 30 minutes of the program, so 25 after, he'd get a hit, attack, be shot, or something would happen. Stay tuned next week or tomorrow for the final ending of Rocket Man. What happened to him? You see, and that's what they did it for. Amazing. And so listeners would react to the format and not the content of the Orson Welles War of the Worlds broadcast. He's describing actual invasion, and they told you at the very beginning, but the people tuned in later didn't get that warning. Listeners react to format, not content. Format, which many believe was describing an actual invasion, in spite of the fact that they were repeated clear warnings at the very beginning, as fictional. Repetition, they figured out, number three, was the key to popularity. That if you play it enough, people will think it's good, even if it's awful. And most importantly, they will believe it, even if it's a lie. So any lie can become popular if it's repeated enough times on the radio. And they went for it. Thousands responded with sheer panic. Estimated 1 million sheeple responded with sustained fear. It's in the fall of 1937. And the office of the radio research was set up with the Lazarfield as director, Stanton, Cantrell. They received a grant from General Education Board. That's why John Dewey was involved. See how it all fit together? And it worked. I think in one small town, the townspeople, that night shot up their water tower, thinking it was one of the bad guys, is one of the monsters. They shot up their water tower out of panic, put holes in it. I mean, really. How about Y2K setting up World War III in 1999? That was the purpose of Y2K and a fake attack that Alex Jones described December 31st, 1999. It was a lie. I've talked about that, too, because I was over there in Kosovo. So, someone on my on the chat here says that they're starting to bomb Syria and that it might be off topic. Well, actually, it's exactly on topic because remember I said about an hour ago that they would have to have a crisis, a fake world war, or a fake crisis of some kind. May even take out a city. I don't know. Just because it's a fake World War III don't mean people won't die. Well, if they're starting to bomb now, you got ISIS, it's controlled by the CIA, Mossad, MI5, MI6, ISI, Pakistani intelligence, Iranian intelligence, Turkish intelligence, they all work together. If they orchestrate this fake 911 that's coming up. People die in these things, by the way, but they're mislabeled. That would be the crisis we're talking about tonight. But it's got to affect everybody in the United States. It's got to affect our economic situation. To shut down the ATMs, now you've got their attention. Close down the supermarkets, definitely got the Americans' attention. Now they're ready. And if they start seeing UFOs in the 3D holographic imagery, starting to hear voices in their head, look out. So now let's focus now on this alien agenda. As I laid the groundwork, how they're going to pull it off with technology, whiz bang, smoke and mirrors. What are we talking about here about the aliens? You know, the Bible has a great deal to say about alien visitors of some sort. It speaks of the existence in many places and specifically talks about their alliance with Satan. But we know the alien visitors are sons of God of the Old Testament or fallen angels. What they are. There's several different classifications. It's got to be made by demons and aliens. And it defines what they are. First of all, most people think that demons that do exist are spiritual beings, and that they can't assume physical form, what people think. Likewise, if aliens exist, they are physical beings. People think this. Most people believe that demons are trapped in hell, that people believe that Satan is in hell right now. He's not. Whereas if aliens exist, they're free to roam about in outer space like Battlestar Galactica or possibly other dimensions or planes of existence or even the future. I got all kinds of ideas they do. A distinction that divides these aliens and demons is based partly, there is matter, the fact of matter, that demons can assume physical form. We know that from the Bible. They can possess, take control of the body. Actually, this is probably their natural state since they lost their former state of glory in the Old Testament when their bodies were destroyed in the flood. And what keeps them from being fully recognized, fully materialized at any time, like they were before the Old Testament, before the flood, is because of the restraining power of the Holy Spirit that prevents them from having full embodiment. Now, what we can't see are the wars that are occurring in the heavenly realms that are preventing them from doing so. Millions, millions of angels, millions, millions of demons, fallen angels. How they fight, I don't know. You have two orders or two waves, we'll call it, of fallen angels. The first wave, when Satan and the fallen angels, the angels rebelled against God, left their first estate before the flood. They've been chained in utter darkness, waiting the day of judgment, waiting judgment to be released. After the flood, and by the way, they knew that their children were destroyed by the flood, so they got a vendetta against God for that. The fallen angels also left their first estate after the flood in Nimrod's day. Fell in lust with daughters of men again. And then they brought the alchemy, witchcraft, the knowledge of good and evil to mankind, of which landed upon Nimrod, teaching him that a human sacrifice and the release of that power force, that life force, was what fueled it, their ability to manifest in this realm. They need that energy to get a physical form. They need to increase their energy to be able to be wrapped up in flesh with a different DNA. So that's where you get your invocations, your rituals, your holidays, paying homage in sports in certain ways, because you know baseball is a Luciferian agenda. Baseball, the diamond, is a symbol of Freemasonry. It's created by the Freemasons. You have all that energy of people, yeah, win, yeah. They feel that. That energy is counted. When they had the worldwide peace brief meditation this past week, in 21st of September, that'd be yesterday, and the Satanists had their little extravaganza, and whatever else happened that we don't know about, helped to manifest those fallen angels of a certain number. I don't understand how they do it exactly, how they absorb that energy to be able to manifest, but that's how they do it, or channel. One set of fallen angels and the externalization of the hierarchy by Alice Bailey, somebody, some of them, manifested yesterday. Saint Germain is going to be the one that will bring prosperity, period. And Sanan Emanuel is a false prophet. The one in the Bible. He looks like Jesus, we think should look like. He'll also be the Imam Mahdi. He'll also fit the bill for the Kalki Avatar, for the Prince of Peace, for the Christ, for Krishna, Bodhisattva, the Christ, Maitreya. He'll fit all of those in one. So that way, everybody will be represented in one alien. So if he's not from this world, then he would be neutral. That's how they're going to do it. So wars are happening in the heavenly realm, preventing them from coming out openly. You remember the 21-day war that was fought between the warring angels and the Prince of Darkness? That in order to Gabriel to deliver his message to Daniel in Daniel 10, 12 to 14? It's right in the Bible. And you know, even though demons aren't in the world, they the way they would like to be now, as they were before, they do penetrate this world sometimes, physically and spiritually. As a matter of fact, God has told us about angels that he sends. Entertain strangers unaware that he sends angels to test your helping someone, or maybe send an angel to help you in the physical form. The homeless person could come to you and be an angel to see if you would help them, to test, to really put you to the test. God does it. Well, so will Satan. But they have to garner. They have to use alchemy. They have to use death, destruction, sacrifice, abortions, weather patterns, and so forth, produced to be able to absorb the energy that God has naturally. You see what I mean? So they have to use the elements, manipulation of the elements. They need man's help. God don't need man's help. You know. Fire from heaven is not some kind of missile coming out that God's going to use. God don't need that. Satan does, though. And the more we pull away from God, like 22 states now are same-sex marriage, justifying the abortion, the Child Euthanasia Act in Oregon passing, various things like this. The more we pull away from God, the more he pulls away from you, from us, from the country, whatever the case may be. When he does that, the veil becomes thinner and thinner. Now, during the times of holidays, like yesterday, and holiday coming up, 31 October, are there to identify certain days of the month, certain months of the year, etc., where the veil between the second heaven and the first heaven is thinner of energy layers, allow them to come into this world. Copper is a big help to them. They travel through copper. Copper and tin has a certain kind of alchemy that allows to open up the portals. Alien abductions are cases of physical involvement, but these aren't aliens. And there's been records, testimony, that when the person woke up in sheer terror to find these little gray buckaroos at the bottom of their bed or around them, they cried out the name of Jesus and they had to leave. They weren't abducted. Only people that don't call upon God's divine help and true faith will God allow for demons to deal with directly in this manner. Same rules as applied to demonic possession. When you pray for God's help in these abductions, they have to go away. That's what's going on today. And the subject of existence of God, and especially the name of Jesus, Jesus, is mysteriously absent in days where people have been abducted. You'd think that the name of Jesus would come up in these cases. But when you have these instances, that's what you do. You call it the name of Jesus. This is why they're trying to get you from calling out the name of Jesus and use another name. Yahweh, Mayasisach, whatever, I don't know what. The word names you can't even pronounce in English. It's not the same Jesus anyway. This is what they're trying to do. Now, how many people know this? I don't know. That they're just going with the exotic way. I call him Yeshua. I call him Yahweh. Whatever. Those demons are not going to acknowledge that. And the scripture does talk about demons penetrating the world physically by interbreeding with humans in Genesis 6:4. Giants with the result of these demons spawn. Angels in heaven don't marry. Angels in heaven are immortal. What causes sexual response all the way around? The blood. The life is in the blood. Without blood, you can't achieve a sexual response, you understand? So if you're eternal, you're not going to have blood in your system. Flesh and bone only. So the possibility of sexual interaction is not going to be there. Demonic interbreeding with humans, though, didn't end with the floods of Noah. There are giants in the world after the flood also. Matter of fact, there were tribes and villages and cultures of giants. So, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, in 37 and verse 39, the end times will be as the days of Noah were. So, if that's true, which it is, the open demonic interbreeding with humans will be happening the way it was back then. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. And you hear about the times when you have these demons and you have these Nephilim or giants or aliens in the ground, in the deep underground military bases. All they got to do is release them through these sinkholes, through the caverns, and let them come on out when God removes a protective edge. That day is coming. And they've been doing interbreeding, testing, food, all kinds of nasty things with humans, these giants, just like in the days of Noah. And the interbreeding is still occurring, except now they're using scientific knowledge, computer modeling, and so forth to accelerate the growth. So they've been manipulating the DNA by knowledge. So they're not giants anymore. Family. The Mervingian bloodline. Kings and queens of today, going back to the pharaohs. Or hybrids. They still have demonic DNA, but they look human. You have the David Icke's that are his disciple of Jordan Maxwell. Jordan Maxwell brought in David Icke into the New Age. Jordan Maxwell falls all over himself when he talks about Helena Blavatsky. Helena Blavatsky was read by Hitler. Helena Blavatsky brought in the first phase of the New Age movement in 1870s, 1890s. Alice Bailey followed her in 1990, 1947. And then Michael Aquino, 1975. That's three phases. Early 1900s, Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit priest, no less. And Chardin is not a Jew. Chardin is French. Chardin is the father of the New Age movement. That's pretty telling. Helena Blavatsky was the mother of the New Age movement. You see. And that would be the re-spiritualization of the Roman Catholic Church. Would be the New Age movement. The Fourth Reich. So when Reagan says they're among us, he's not kidding. I don't know how many people caught that. Because he's talking, making it look like it's a political statement. But there are certain key traits that you might look for. Inherently evil is the extreme degree, even at a young age. People are physically gifted, psychically gifted, especially if they don't believe in Jesus, and use their gifts for personal gain. Highly intelligent, ambitious individuals with extreme selfish motives to achieve positions of power, wealth, and prestige. Especially people that are demon-possessed will have certain skills the average person won't have. They sometimes will pretend to be Christian or spiritual. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about this also. It says, right out of the Bible, King James Bible, of course, Matthew 7:21-23, King James Bible. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now here you go. Ready for this? 7:22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So where did they get those skills? It wasn't from God. Family suicide is not an option. They will try to get those with weak on the verge to commit suicide. They will have families killed, and the killer or family member will commit suicide. They can do this by technology too, and hypnosis, while they sleep through voice-to-skull technologies. And by that, it becomes a sacrifice, by that initiation. Back in the days of Genesis chapter 6, the offspring between the sons of God and human women were giants. The NIV Bible calls them Nephilim, for your knowledge, but the true word for them is giants out of the King James Bible. And you have those, a lot of theologians, seems like nowadays, that don't want to accept it, and they say the sons of God were the human sons of the line of Seth. That came after Abel in the Old Testament. They're just simply wrong. People don't have babies that just happen to turn out to be giants. And just because the sons of God, the line of Seth, were godly men, doesn't mean it changed their DNA. But your Calvinists and Preterists and other such sect groups and cults, Arnold Murray types, cult groups, Shepherd's Chapel, etc. They try to tell us that we were former angels, and then the bodies we came in were making us go through life like Jesus did. And we used to be angels. That's not right either. So the sons of God, mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, were genetically different than humans. They were not only giants, but they were also inertly evil beyond words. Because they were satanic beings, not descendants from glorified line of godly men. Haven't heard too many preachers talk about this. And the ones that did, they avoid the conversation if you ask them the question. Definitely the sons of God are not descendants from the line of Seth. Now, Satan's tactic back in the days of Noah was to take over the world by sheer physical brute force, cannibalism, and interbreeding with humans to destroy what God created. And then creating a master race of giants. God didn't have technology back then. So he had to wait a generation to manipulate the DNA the proper way for them to achieve this. And then, of course, to corrupt the human genetic code. That's what GMO products are about. It's what the vaccines are about. It's what ELF transmission is about. Good gracious. There's all kinds of technology and alchemy to try to change your DNA. And to corrupt the human genetic code so that the Messiah couldn't be born. And you know the plan almost worked? If it wasn't for the flood of Noah, the overwhelming population of giants would have taken over the earth. Dinosaurs. Now you know where the dinosaurs come, don't you? Yeah, they came by evolution, all right. Evolution guided by manipulation of genetic code by the fallen angels. Over the short term. Not millions and millions of years. Science is one of the Ashram rays covered by the fallen angels. The knowledge of good and evil. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? But chapter 6 tells you exactly. But then to slam dunk it, take the person to Job 38, verse 7. Actually, 38, 1 to 7. And it proves right there that the sons of God existed before the foundations of the earth was laid. And you have a lot of folks now in the Christian identity. Arnold Murray and all these others, they get all mixed up. That the Genesis 1 is a pre-Adamic race of Gentiles. And Genesis 2 was Adam and Eve after the Gentiles of the race of Jews. And that Cain, given the mark, was a black boy. And that somehow or another, the seed of Cain survived the flood and became the seed of the minorities or something or another. Family, these people are nuts. And there's people that believe this nonsense. But in reality, Moses, as dictated to by God, because remember, Moses wasn't there. And when God was dictating to Moses verbally on the mountain, he explained Genesis 1 was a premise of how the earth was created, stars, universe, how man was created. And Genesis 2 was specifically how the life of man became. So, Genesis 2 is simply letting you know exactly how he did it. And even Job goes deeper into it. And Ecclesiastes talks about parts of the body as well. The Bible defines itself. Now, Satan's tactic of takeover has changed. He plot to deceive as many as he can. Genetic experiments are more covert and more exact because of computer systems than they were back then. Instead of creating giants, which stand out, demons are trying to become as human as possible to blend in. If you're going to be like a duck, you've got to look like a duck. So the more diluted the human seed is, the easier people are to possess, manipulate, deceive, and the more evil reigns the world as it sneaks up on you. So, molecules at a certain speed, vibration, based on 186,000 miles per second, become physical in this realm. So when they slow down at our own vibrational level, 185,000 feet per miles per second, like the travel of light that we can see, that we measure. If you somehow, and they have accomplished this, you increase it faster, like 11,000 per second, which they have actually done. Now you're entering another dimension. The idea of CERN, C-E-R-N, is to open up the dimension without sacrifices to make it easier to go back and forth. And they're looking to crack through the water between the second heaven and the third heaven, where God is. In other words, a way to explain it to you on the ground, the molecules of ice, of water, and ice is slow, making it ice. And then if you take an energy source and you increase the molecule speed of vibration, you have water. It melts. Now you got water. So water is one, is the second heaven, and the ice cube is the first heaven on Earth. Now you take that water in a pan or microwave, whatever, and you heat it up faster, it will disappear into steam. The third heaven. Steam, water, ice. It's the same thing. Sort of. Same principle, we might say. That's how it works. So your body, as it is right now, if you were to increase the speed of molecules, guess what? And not being prepared, you would spontaneously combust from the inside out. In other words, your body would just turn into flame. You would burn. I'm not messing with the occult, being possessed by a demon. A good example of that would be this bath salts. And don't you notice that those that take the bath salts invites a certain demon into their body. Marijuana is another type of demon. This is how it works. Now notice something, and here's the exact part of it, talking about science, chemistry, is that when they take the bath salts, it opens up portals. It's an abomination to the body, allows the body to be possessed by this particular type of demon that's a cannibalistic demon. What do they always do? Man, they got to take those clothes off. Clothes come off. Why? Because their body gets extremely hot. Because that energy has increased in their body just enough where they don't spontaneously combust, but the demon has come inside and possessed them to start chowing down on people. And that's exactly what they all do. Notice that? It takes an extreme amount of weapon bullets or power to take these guys down because they're super powered. It's not the individual, it's a demon inside of them. It's not normal. So the more diluted the human seed is, the easier people are to possess, manipulate, and deceive. That's why they want GMO products in there. That's why they're trying to change the atmosphere with chemtrails, aluminum oxide, barium oxide, Mogillons, all kinds of ways, GMO products, to dilute the human seed and change the DNA to allow possession. So they can go back the way the days of old were. That's the big picture. Now, this is how they do it by physical means. Spiritual methods are different. Now, some people have a difficult time. And only in a high level can they explain, well, to a certain extent, how they do it by supernatural means or spiritual means. But they have ways they do this. By possession of the body. Now, I've just given you physical, and I've only just touched upon it, of how they actually do it. Of possessing the body by physical means, but how they do it by spiritual means. First of all, they have these symbols, the five-pointed star and all that stuff, the Jewish hexagram or the Star of David. See, these formations act as magnets and transmitters, like the three pyramids. A triangle or a pyramid attracts different energy, as do colors. Then the five-pointed star, say, for example, and they release energy received into different levels and planes. They have different functions. They attract energy. They fuse energy together. They radiate in proper channels to further the evolution of mankind, they're told. That's where the meditation. You know the yoga? Yoga, the different positions, is a worship of that god, of that demon. Did you know that? So when you take that position, you can become possessed. That's what yoga is all about. Methods of direct incarnation of human beings has three particular entrance points. I'll tell you what those are. Is physical birth by cellas. That's where you get your children that are concert pianists at 3 years old. That's what happened. Appropriation of a suitable vehicle or body, called possession, where they come inside your body by these methods of meditation and so forth. And by direct creation by an act of will, which is rare. Now, what are we talking about here? Well, you had one place in India, Gandhi. You had another in England, two in Northern America, one in Central America. And one took a Russian body in the 1970s, and even before that. They run countries. One in India, and I believe it was Indira Gandhi, did much to the emancipation of women of India. In their own planning and their own records, one of the incarnations was that woman who pushed emancipation of women in India. Just like they're trying to do, Rockefellers funded the feminist movement. Same thing. And I know documented in their own planning that they say the Master Jesus, their Yeshua, their Sananda Manuel, he will take a physical vehicle, a body, and with certain of his chelas will affect a re-spiritualization of the Catholic churches. And they'll be breaking down the barrier that separates the Episcopal and the Greek churches from the Roman. They tried to set this up in 1980. And then they'll bring in what's called the Buddhic energy of this vast spiritualistic movement, while another master will work with Christian Science effort to swing it onto a slender line. That's coming, family. Because now the Pope is marrying divorced couples, which they've never done before. He's marrying couples that lived in sin, no problem. Family, the re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church is beginning to happen. By them forgiving, remember that one, I forgot the guy's name already, but he died recently, supposedly, trying to bring together all the Protestants back in the Roman Catholic Church. You're all forgiven. Come back now. We want you back. The guy died on a motorcycle or something, didn't he? He's trying to bring all the religions back together again. See, it's happening. It's already taking place. We're close. We're very close to this disclosure of bringing in the alien falling away, the false prophet, Sanand Emanuel. Man, we're on the verge of it. Other ways they can do it is by incarnation or the physical plane method, by drugs, which is the release of astral consciousness, breaking down your barrier. Words of power, creation by speech or method of the mental plane, invocations, the home, 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 that kind of thing going on. Intense desire is subliminally the inspiration of the method of the Buddhic plane with the spirit of spiritual love and so forth. The emotion causes the applications. And meditation, yoga, the method of Atmic, A-T-M-I-C plane, where the spiritual will helps open up portals for the body to be possessed. People have no idea what they're filling with. In the Ecclesiastes, it talks about the golden, the silver thread. Now, I'm going to have to Bishop Palmer was trying to bring the process back. Why they killed him, I don't know. Who knows why? But nevertheless, Palmer was the one trying to bring back the process, bring all the religions back together before they crash it. I've told you how they possess people, briefly, spiritually, and physically. And New Age craze now is astral projection, where you can leave your body by the silver cord. You come out of your body. It's kind of like jump. Remember Van Halen? Might as well jump, jump, that music, that song. That's what it's talking about, jumping out of your body. It's like you're getting flung. It's like Kundalini thing, but you fling out of your body. But the testimonies on astral projection, and the Pentagon has projects on this. The Pentagon and the Russians have classified projects for astral projection called remote viewing, too. If you were to drive in some crime-ridden neighborhood with a Lamborghini and leave the door open, what do you think is going to happen? Okay, so when you leave your body, your soul leaves your body from pineal gland, the silver cord, and you leave your body, your Lamborghini. Of course, mine's a Model A. But you leave your body, what do you think is going to take it up? Because you have lost control of it. That's what happens. But right now, they want to bring through marijuana. Under the lie that it's cancer, no problem. The government's trying to kill you because they want to make it illegal, when actually it heals cancer and does this and does that. No, it's to break down your conscious control and to make it legal. So to make it to where you can wear it on your chest every time, they did it with cigarettes, the e-cigarettes, to freebase nicotine. Now what they're going to do is when they approve marijuana nationwide or worldwide, whatever they're going to do, you can wear your own water pipe around your neck. Can you imagine a medicated country, marijuana, the possessions that will take place? That's what it's for. The more diluted the human seed is, the easier people are possessed, manipulated, and deceived, and the more evil reigns in the world, especially in positions of power, and they test it out to see where they are before they go the next step. Demons penetrate the world by physical means, spiritual means I've already talked about. And you know, the New Age craze is astral projection. the ability, the person to be able to spiritually leave their body. And a book about a man of the name of Robert Monroe claimed to have the ability. And he even possessed another person on many occasions. It's almost like an avatar. People with this ability to do this are most likely either demon-possessed themselves or have satanic gifts. Look up Robert Monroe, attacked by a demonic animal on two occasions, mentioned in his book, yet never called on the name of Jesus, because I know they would lose that power. It's temporary anyway. People that claim to be Christian are always Christian. You watch what they do. Like Victoria Osteen and Joel Osteen. They're told to come out now. Now, you all know about Joel Osteen, for example, and his wife, Victoria. Now she says, when you do good, you're doing it for yourself. Not for God, but for yourself. Do good for yourself. When you're happy, God's happy. What? Okay. You all heard this one now, right, recently? Well, in addition to that, at the same time frame, this past week or two, an article came out about Joel Osteen, who has, 20,000 people any given day of his, any given Sunday or whatever he does. He made some mistakes in theology, that he's not as schooled in theology as everybody thinks he is. Well, no, they want that to be out. They want you to know that. Because remember, they're getting ready to undercut religion. So what happens when you, I love Joel Osteen. I love what he says. His wife is great and all this and all that. And all of a sudden you find out they're not who they say they are. It's called a dialectic. How are you going to feel then? And that's what they're counting on, is to lose faith in the religion. That's what they're told to do this, out of nowhere. It's to now start acting dumb, saying things that's way out of the Bible, that's against the Bible. So you'll lose faith in what they've been teaching. They're doing it by design. That's the point. This is not accidental. For them to start changing is what they want to do. So now you'll lose faith in religion, which religion is not of God anyway these days, but they're going to make sure you don't. The Pope says that Mary saved souls. Now they're really driving it home. She don't save souls, Jesus does. So what's that going to do to Catholics? When they have a falling away in the Catholic Church, what are they going to seek out? A religion, something that they can hold on to. And guess what? That's where the fallen angels come in and the aliens issues. Family, get ready. People, get ready. Because that time's coming. And they're setting up as we go along. So right now, Victoria Osteen and Joel Osteen is on the hot plate, no pun intended. Now, I'll be talking about this some more. I got a broadcast, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that you can listen to on my website, watchmanforjesus.com. And I'm going to talk about this some tonight. I've been talking about tonight later on this week also. And we'll talk some about the different three parts of heaven, how the alien issue works in, how the churches have been infiltrated. I'm going to cover a lot of that all week long. And I think tonight I'm going to put out some of my broadcasts that I've been putting away for MP3s. I'll put those out tonight. And then end of the week, I'll distribute the MP3s that I've had so far. And also, in my Bible studies this past week, I talked about the thousand-year millennium and what was going on there. You might be interested in listening to it. WatchmanForJesus.com, and my Facebook. We're up to about 5,000 now, people that visited. Watchman for Jesus, and you're welcome to join in. I got about 5 minutes to go, and so pretty much tonight I covered about the alien issue. As it is, it's really fallen angels that's going to come into this life, cause the falling away of the church, and Christians are not prepared for this, are not going to be prepared for it. What are you going to do? Because you're going to be all by yourselves. Because you're going to know what it is. And you're going to be hard-pressed to tell other Christians that Billy Graham's lying. What do you mean? Well, Graham's answer when he's talking about a discovery of asteroid from Mars raised speculations about the possibility of life. He said in 1997, January, well, it doesn't raise any for me because I believe, he says, that there's life on other planets. We have the galaxy Milky Way and now speculate that there's millions and millions of galaxies. And in each galaxy, a trillion stars, planets and all that. I can't imagine we're the only one that has life. It would be a terribly egotistical thing for us to say as a planet. My question is, Billy Graham, what about original sin? How's that fit? I was even going to a Bible study at one time a couple months ago in a church, and there was two left, the pastor and somebody else, and I brought up, oh, there's no aliens. Both of them snapped their head. I could hear their eyeballs clicking. And said, what do you mean? Of course there are aliens out there. I said, no. I said, what about original sin? Did Adam and Eve curse the entire galaxies? And when they sinned, what about before Adam and Eve? And from the theory that the fallen angel or the aliens were before Adam and Eve. So did Adam and Eve sinning curse everybody before and after? Well, they don't like that. But anyway, answer the question. I need to know the answer. They don't answer that question. They can't. They hope you don't go any further than that. Billy Graham of 1992 quoted saying that he thought UFOs were angels of God. Billy Graham was interviewed in David Frost, and he believed that people in heaven are sent by God to other worlds to help them in redemption of life. So they have their own Adam and Eve? See, it's not making sense at all. They're setting you up for disclosure. Hoping you don't ask the questions. Antichrist is soon to come. And the fallen angels are going to be your aliens. And as far back, the secret societies, as far back as 1917, was going to invent an artificial threat from outer space to bring humanity together in a one-world government called the New World Order. Even, you know, Bill Cooper talked about this as well. We go back to what I said earlier. They'll use a crisis, defeat of the Illuminati, which will be a lie, and the good guys will be heralded as heroes, and you got yourself the falling away. And boy, we'll be in the first seal. Y'all get ready. Because it sounds like, now they're trying to tell you that we're done with the tribulations already, the sixth trumpet done sounded, and we're done with them. Well, that's not true at all. We haven't gotten the first seal yet. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. That have you believe otherwise. That your Carl Gallups and Irvin Baxter and all these other heretics and Arnold Murray or whatever, he's dead now, I think, or whatever, I don't know. Shepherd's Chapel, something other. They all have false theology that can be destroyed any time if you know the Bible at all. Family, stay with the King James Bible. Know it because they're going to try to discredit it. Book of Enoch. It's a Gnostic book full of nonsense. It might tell the truth about the fallen angels, but that's about it. Then it just trails off into just nonsense about Noah and he's a Nephilim and all kinds of other garbage. That's why they're trying to push it. Because it'll take the place of the Bible once this disclosure takes place. And the book of Urantia, U-T-A-N-T-I-A. It's another bunch of garbage. Well, family, any time now, the It's going to go off tomorrow, 4 to 6, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, watchingforjesus.com. And we'll continue on with how they've infiltrated the churches. And I hope to cover some solutions, but really the only solution is get right with God. And be ready for a taking away or protection of something that's coming. Be ready for martyrism. But live your life, not in fear like they're putting you through. Don't let them put fear in you. Because greater is he in you than the rest of the world. Don't let them take that away from you. Holy Spirit's within you. You don't need a cross on your chest or some flag or some little doodad or whatever. The Holy Spirit's inside you supernaturally. They can't take that out. So y'all have a great night tonight, and any second now, this thing's going to cut off, and it's just going to, there you go, I knew it was coming. Y'all have a great night, God bless. This is Tom Gamble, your watchman, signing off, Watchman for Jesus program off of Revelation Radio Network. Until next Monday, good night.